Hey, everybody, welcome back. Yeah, it's a little message it says in the beginning. It's so funny if you're not used to it. It's like recording in progress. It's so creepy. Anyway, welcome, everybody, to another Oversharing episode. So excited today. Today is 7.77, I guess. We'll just do that. That'd be the best. You'd need three sevens anyway. But we're going to do three sevens because we have a guest. So first, I will say hello to Sharon. Hi, Sharon. How are you doing today?
I am great. I'm excited.
Yeah, I bet you are. Ooh, it says my internet connection is unstable. Oh no, how does it know?
Yes.
I will be all right. It said that before.
Yeah, it does. I hear it crackling, but let's just manifest that everything's going to be okay and we're all going to hear each other and we're not going to crackle.
How about that? I mean, crack triggers me anyway. So why don't you introduce our guest, Sharon? We're being so rude.
Oh, yeah. Very true. So this is Rob, and he also goes by another nickname if he so chooses to divulge that information. And we met him through the Bertaria app, Times app. Bertaria, I said that app already. Bertaria Times app. And he was listening to our show, and he had some commentary, and we thought he would make a very interesting guest because he would provide additional information that perhaps we don't, like, I don't have the background for him. Brandon doesn't have the background for it. So
yeah, like I have a little bit, right?
what I meant is like he has a lot of, I think.
Yeah. So the way this happened was great. He was listening to our show and we were kind of talking to him about some ideas. And then immediately he just started throwing us all these ideas and stuff and experiences he had. So the first thing I did was like, Sharon, we got to get him on the show if he's willing and able to do it. Because we don't have guests often here in the Oversharing show. And it's really because we have such a great dynamic and the things you talk about. But I think this is a rare exception because he has so much experience. So anyway, hey, Rob, why don't you tell how are you doing? And why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm an AI and robotics engineer. Given the topic of the show, I'm not going to divulge where that is at.
Right.
I do my own mycology and study of different types of mushrooms and funguses and whatnot. A lot of them are just healing ones, not just they're all healing in their own way, but some of them are fun.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. They're not all the medicinal variety, I guess, or hallucinogenical variety, I guess you could say.
Yeah, they're all medicinal, just not all hallucinogenic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So how did you get started? Let's talk about, because Sharon and I in a previous podcast talked about earlier experiences and stuff. So what's one of the experience you remember you think with mushrooms, one of your first ones?
Oh,
that, if you can remember.
My very first experience with them was when I was younger. And my friends and I, we got an ounce of them. And it was just four of us. We split it four ways. And everybody ate the entire contents of their bag. And we went out wandering through the woods. And we started playing live action Dungeons and Dragons. Fighting tree monsters and just enjoying the goofiness of it. And we ended up out this lake, and the lake was reflecting so still because the water's not moving, and you could see all the stars in the lake, and there's like a little fog rolling across it, and the way the moonlight was hitting everything is just making the shadows just dance everywhere. And it was just one of the most beautiful experiences of my life. It was like literally looking down and on top of the universe, I could look down on top of all the zodiacal lights floating around my head. This is just too much. And then one of my friends, he lived there, and he knew that there was a dock that was submerged halfway out in this lake, hanging off of the end of this other dock. And he jumps down onto it, and it looked like he was just walking on water. And we were just like, oh, man, this is too much, Sean. What are you doing? Don't jump over the side. He's just walking right up and down this thing. And we're just like baffled as to what's going on. And It was a pretty wild night. That was my very first time doing that, and that was when I was about 19. That kind of opened my eyes to that there was an entire another world of things out there other than, you know, beers.
That's funny. Do you remember what kind of mushrooms they were?
Oh, golden teachers.
Okay. I mean, not that I know the difference, but that's
psilocybin-benzes.
Yeah, that's probably something we're going to definitely get into, because I only really know of psilocybin. I don't know. I mean, I've heard of the other things, but honestly, I don't know the differences, you know. Maybe that's something we could talk about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm sure Sharon has some.
I have many questions.
Some notes on that. One second.
Yeah, no problem. Another thing, too, I was going to ask you is, after your first experience, maybe before we get into the mushroom thing really quick, you can go into this, but like after your first experience, did you notice any, I mean, you said you looked at the world differently, but did you notice any ways that you might have healed or started beginning a certain process or something like that? Or is it all like recreation and fun?
The thing is at the very start of it, it was just a drug. And that was before I even joined the military. And there's a long period of time where I didn't do any drugs at all, except for alcohol. And that was when I was in the military, because they don't allow that kind of shenanigans. I hadn't touched them for a while until I got back out.
What branch were you in, and how long were you in?
I was in the Navy, but I also did a tour as an individual augmentee to a Marine Corps detachment, because I work on AI systems and drones and stuff. So.
Oh, great. All right. Well, that was Air in the Marine Corps, so we have some syncs there. I did 4 years active duty, so yeah, that's great. All right. So yeah, I just wanted to, that's what I kind of figured, and that's, I just wanted to bring that up, because everybody, you know, people either say you should do them or you shouldn't do them. You know, it's like, it's either they're terrible or they're bad for you. And I'm trying to like establish a theme that no, it's just like anything else. It's like a tool. It could be misused. I'm not saying you misuse it when you're 19. I'm just saying people definitely can misuse it. And they can also use it. So, yeah.
They're not for everybody. That's for sure. You have to be in the right frame of mind.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
the big difference between when I did them then and then when I came back, I had a lot of I was a severe alcoholic. I was very angry at the world, and you know, just kind of butthurt about serving in the Grabbler Wars over there and terrorizing my people. My family members weren't really super happy about me joining and serving the military either, against our part of the world. Yeah, your own kind. You're all human too.
What's your part of the world?
I'm kidding.
I'm Syrian. And,
oh, all right.
It's Middle Eastern in general.
Dahi Arabi?
They're not really super happy about being on the bad guy side of it.
Do you still speak Arabic, or do you speak any Arabic at all?
No. I learned a little bit when I was over there, but I'm third generation here.
So. Okay, so you don't remember. It's not like you can listen to it and understand it or anything.
If I really, it'll slow everything down a lot.
Okay.
I didn't really speak it. That's they wanted us Americanized as much as possible. So.
Yeah. So you were saying you were over there, they weren't too happy.
No. So it all kind of built a lot of trauma up in my life. And I compensated with that with alcohol pretty heavily. You know, I used to drink like 30 beers a night, bad stuff, real angry person. And I got invited out to go to a festival with my cousin, and I didn't want to go because it's full of a bunch of hippies, and hippies are gay.
How dare you? No, I'm just kidding.
I know, right? But that's how I felt. I listened to heavy metal and I'm like, nah.
He's all heathen, not hippie.
I was the same way. Yeah, heathen, not hippie. I say that. I used to listen to heavy metal and people are like, you like the Grateful Dead? And I'm like, But yeah.
So I was hanging out there and that was the first time that I actually ever was given them in a shamanistic medicinal setting. Somebody said that I could really benefit from hanging out with this guy, so I go on and meet him, and his name is Horseshoes. And I'm like, all right, I'm gonna meet this guy named Horseshoes and he's gonna give me some mushrooms, huh? And he had like some good things to say about it and everything, and he was friends with this other guy, we called him the Admiral, and he had a spaceship and you could go on the spaceship, and the spaceship was a bunch of gongs that were all set up in this geometric pattern around you, and they'd go around the outside and they'd play the gongs while you sat in the middle and kind of spaced out. And that was that was a pretty intense experience.
So you went to the moon?
Much?
Let's see, oh, yeah. Bad. Yeah. You took a spaceship to the moon.
On the moon that day. We found the missing telemetry data and everything.
Who knew it was five gongs and a guy named Horseshoes? He had the data. That's great.
Don Pettit.
Yeah, exactly. I love this story.
You know, later that night, I ended up having quite a bit that night. I had almost an ounce of them. Wow. And by the end of that night, I had walked out to the middle of this field and there was a giant bright star that was hanging in the sky that I kept following out there. And all of a sudden, like, it was quiet all around me for no, like, it was really loud and it's at a festival and things are happening, but everything went silent around me. And that star came falling out of the sky and landed in the field and I had to go see what it was. And I go, and this is like the embodiment of the spirit that I'm talking to there. And this mushroom spirit is shaped like my friend who had recently passed at the time. Wow. And he told me that he was doing okay and that things were all right. And he understood where I was at in life. And he said, you know, you don't need to worry about it so much, you know. He's like, you understand that there's a path out there that doesn't go down, you know, down these dark places anymore. And you know, if you just believe in the light, you know, you can, there is a path back for you. There is redemption, you know, God loves you still. And I kind of cried about that while in the field, you know, because I felt kind of gay. I had to cry about it for a bit as I just felt like I had, you know, I had been living a life that was defiling the beauty that God had given me and kind of squandering it with alcoholism. And I made these choices back then to start quitting doing stuff like that. There's definitely the positive side of mind-altering substances, and there's a negative side of mind-altering substances. There's like certain ones that are the domain of the devil, and there's certain ones that have the light domain to them. And I definitely believe mushrooms have a light domain to them. So
go ahead.
Having said what you just said with the two domains and all that, what substances would you deem as being of like a dark domain?
Most of your research chemicals will fall under that one. There's some that that can induce hallucinations, but they're all just scary and twitchy and your muscles get weird. They're not any good.
Are they lab created?
They are lab created, and they were legal for a long time because they were analogs of other substances. and you could sell them at head shops. And we used to get them when we were in the military because they couldn't get tested for. So we played around with a lot of those, but they're very, very dark chemicals that bring you to very dark places. And on top of that, I'd definitely say anything that's derived from opium is definitely a dark substance. And, you know, alcohol is definitely, you know, in that realm. So it's the depressants, you know, the things that you can get hooked on that you have to have medical attention to even get away from if you get hooked on that bad, you know. And they must be, there's some of them that must be a hell of a drug, because I've never done crack or heroin or anything like that, but I've never killed myself for a drug. And I've had a lot of friends that did for those ones. And you look back on it and you're like, that just must have been one hell of a fucking experience to not be able to put it down. Not that it's like a good experience, but you know, if you have those kinds of personalities, it's always best to stare away from, and they don't even touch it. So yeah. Like I do, I have those kinds of personality traits. Don't touch it.
yeah, I totally agree. That's what I say with a lot of people, especially we'll talk about alcohol because that affects everybody's life. You know, the same thing, everyone's like, you should drink. And it's like, I think it really depends on your state of mind, because if you're going to take a depressant like that and you're going to go to these places, and like you said, you were heavily medicating yourself with alcohol, 30 beers a night, and the anger was coming out, it had no other way to come out. And that had a lot to do probably with the way you view society in your life. So I always tell people, you know, don't demonize. I mean, yeah. Stay away from the substance if you have those issues, like you said. But then at the end of the day, you don't have to demonize the substance itself. But yeah, I mean, if there's something created in a lab that was derived by opiates, I wouldn't fuck with that either. I get you. But yeah, that's what. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. I was just agreeing with you.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying, like, there's all these drugs out there, like you were saying, the analogs. And you could take them and they're like one little atom or molecule different, just so they can get under the lines and become, you know, stay legal, I guess you could say. It's in that gray area. So in the military, that's what we were always about. It's like, because I knew people that would do stuff and it was just stuff that they could do that wouldn't stay in their system. So just like you said, you know, so it goes along the prohibition, like we talked about a couple episodes ago, where when you're doing this to people where you're threatening with throwing them in a cage and arresting them and stuff, you know, some really crazy stuff is going to happen. So to actually judge the drug itself, especially mushrooms, because of all the things we've seen or heard about maybe negative things, is just crazy.
I find it interesting that it's called analog. I've never heard that. Analog substances. Because if you think of analog versus digital, the analog is actually the original and the digital is the like made up one, you know what I mean? So I think it's weird and interesting that they call them the analogs when they're actually modified.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, we do analog signals and digital signals a lot, and our analog signals are usually just like a voltage signal, 0 to 10 or 4 to 20 milliamps. And your digital signals are actually over wire. It's like ones and zeros.
Right.
So
exactly. The analogs are like, you know,
yeah,
it can be anywhere on the spectrum, but the digital is like it's off or it's on. You know, it's like a square.
Oh, there's different bits for it, and you can create the similar analog signal with the digital.
Right.
Now just by
fake it.
Yeah,
like yeah.
Counting your bits.
Is that like PWM? Is like PWM kind of faking it a little bit?
Well, that's a completely different thing. Pulse width modulation is when you're faking an AC wave, or you're faking a DC wave with an AC wave by chopping the negative and the positive peaks of the AC wave, and you're recombining them into a pulse width modulated DC form, which is how you control frequency in an AC motor or an AC system. So.
Cool.
pretty fun.
Sorry, we went engineering talk. Sorry.
Oh no, it's cool. Anytime.
But so you have this background of making stuff from these substances as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, or?
Well, I mean, there's so you don't have to just eat, you know, dried handfuls of mushrooms if you didn't want to stomach that. The matter that you're going to consume it doesn't have any psychoactive reaction at all. It's just the cell wall of the fungus, and that is what usually causes the upset stomach and the need to poop and all that. What you can do instead of taking it like that is you get smaller concentrations of it, but you can put it into honey, and over the course of 4 months you preserve your mushrooms in honey, and they will turn the honey blue or bluish greenish looking, and that's called blue honey, and you can eat that, and that has the psilocybin and psilocin in it. High enough concentration to microdose.
Nice. Do you use normal store-bought honey? Do you use raw honey? How do you usually do it?
Oh, I get honey from the apiary down the road from my buddy, but
yeah, you know, all right,
I live out this way, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
But I like to mix chagas and lion's mane and reishi mushrooms into that as well.
Those are the medicinal varieties, right?
Yeah, those are medicinal varieties. They're neurologically enhancing, and some of them are detoxifying. The chagas detoxes you, and the reishi is you know, it's for longevity, like genetic longevity, so helps you. And then the lion's mane is the nootropic, and that helps regenerate neurons in your brain. Also psilocin will cause your neurons to regenerate in your brain a little bit slower as well, so it's actually not even super bad for you in general.
Awesome. That's kind of so I'm gonna just ask lots of questions here if I can.
Sure.
Okay. So I kind of want to know, we were talking about like the kinds of mushrooms, right? So you named one that you tried when you were 19, that you went on the dock and you saw all the water and the stars and everything, right? So that was one of them. How many varieties are there? Like, how can you tell what you have? How do you know that it has? Is psilocybin what is in it that produces the effect? So it's not a mushroom called psilocybin. It's just what is inside of it that causes the...
All of the psilocybin containing ones typically are start off with the prefix psilocybe, and then there's Cubensis and Zapatas, and there's a bunch of varieties of different ones, and mostly it's just the differences in what kind. There's four major chemicals that interact with you to do that, and I need to find where I put that. Somewhere on my phone. Get me pictures. 1 second.
Great questions, by the way, Sharon. You're killing it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I love it. So are you tempted curious now more? Or you're like, I want some of this honey, allegedly.
No. No, I'm just curious about the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know much about it. So I want to know. Like, because what he's talking about to me sounds like the given name, but then there's like, I'm guessing there's a street name, which he called that first. Do you remember what he called that first mushroom, Brandon?
Golden healers.
Thank you.
Golden teachers.
Teachers. Golden teachers.
Good.
I was thinking of crystals.
Yeah. So Golden Teachers is probably like what the street name. And then it's like, I don't know, what would you call it? Like its scientific name or whatever would be like psilocy, blah, 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 blah.
Psilocybe cubensis would be its scientific name. Okay. And there's so the four major things that you're interacting with is psilocybin, psilocin, baocytocin, and norbocytocin. And those are the four major things that cause the psychoactive reactions in your body. Actually, the psilocybin needs to be metabolized into psilocin anyways. So it's really just the psilocin that actually is what causes the hallucinations.
Oh, I see.
Okay, cool. So my next question would be like, when somebody is let's just say they're a healer and they use mushrooms for healing other people, stuff like that, where would they obtain them? Like, do they go find them in the forest? Like what do they, how do people get these things? How do they know what they are and how do they get them?
They're totally legal for you to grow them for yourself. It's the only illegal thing about them is to have the dried quantities for sale. So you can get a bag of spores, or you can get the spores and those are all completely legal. You get them in syringes. And then you could propagate the mycelium by putting it into some bird seed and vermiculite. You'd want to pasteurize that, of course, because sterility is a extremely important part of this. You only want to have the spores of the mushroom spores in there, mold spores or anything else. But you just put them into a couple of, ball jars like that, fill it up with the bird seed and the and the vermiculite, a little bit of vermiculite and bird seed, and you're going to fill it up like that. And you inoculate it and you put the cover on. Well, you put the cover on first, then you inoculate it. Kind of usually drill like little pinholes in the cover and put silicone over them so that you can get it in there. And then when you pull it out, it seals kind of behind it. And then those will turn into a little white cloud, and that little white cloud can be broken up, and you guys set that down into your substrate, which is vermiculite, or if you want to use like cow shit or something else, that kind of works too. Vermiculite, it's like a type of rock. Almost like it's a tan colored rock, kind of looks like almost like asbestos, but it's not.
Okay.
It's not white, it's tan.
Okay.
I don't know.
And then the spores that you're putting in there are just spores of any kind of psilocybin type mushroom.
Yep, you can order them online. Probably from 100 different places. So
pretty
sure you can get them on Amazon now.
Really? Wow. That's interesting. So, so you grow them. And then, that's how you can make them yourself. Okay. So my next question would be, I'm just going to give some background for you to understand where I'm coming from. So you said that when you guys went on that dock, that you had taken, an ounce and divided up into four. So you took an actual mushroom, an ounce of an actual mushroom, and then you cut it up, or what, made it into powder? And then,
it came in an ounce of mushrooms and we divided it up into four quarters, and that's 7 grams each. And that's
So now that you said that's 7 grams each, because 7 times 4 is 28, 1 ounce, 28 grams. So 7 grams of an actual mushroom. Now, when somebody says, for example, that a microdose is like, what is it? 0.33, who knows?
Yeah, point three for me because I'm about 200 pounds. But if you're about 150 pounds, it's 0.2. And then under that, it would be 0.1.
Okay, got it. Okay. So
definitely based on your body weight.
It's based on body weight. Okay. Okay. But that's the actual mushroom. And you said sometimes some pieces of the mushroom cause other effects or whatever. So does it matter? I guess what I'm saying is a gram a gram when you say like a gram is an actual gram of the entire mushroom that's been powdered down or whatever? Or is it like, oh no, it's a gram of the actual psilocybin?
You wouldn't want to get a gram of actual psilocybin because the psychotropic effect, it has a lot more to do with the balance of all the other chemicals that they're activating on your serotonin receptors, because they have the exact same chemical binders. So that's where they end up, is they collect at your serotonin receptors, and that's what causes the euphoric feelings and the hallucinations.
Okay, so then you can, you know, when somebody says this has a gram of like mushroom, like the chocolate that I had was allegedly had a gram. So like I had half of it. So then I technically had 0.5 grams of the mushroom, whatever mushroom it was.
Yeah. And that was probably about 1500 to 1600 micrograms of psilocybin.
Okay. Okay. So then you can also further. Okay. Got it. That makes sense. So, okay. Wow. So like, I know that people like make their own whatever capsules. And so when they do that, are they taking the mushroom, grounding it up, and then like just putting it in the capsule?
Yeah. Cause it's
weighing
easier
it
to
and putting it
that way.
Okay.
Those capsules, how long do they last, by the way? Cause I had a question, it's a good spot for it. Say you were DJing a wedding in like June or July, and someone came up to you and was like, hey, do you want a microdose of mushrooms? And you said, yeah. And you took it, but you never ingested it. And then you just found it today as you were cleaning.
Do you think you?
No, it's a total, just, you know, story. I'm just making this up as we go. Would you still trust to ingest that? Or would you think it's probably no good?
Probably fine.
Okay.
It's probably,
I would think it's probably fine too.
The problem with keeping the dried quantities over a long period of time is that you can get mold on them. And once you start getting mold on them, they're just going to make you puke if you eat them, but they'll still work. You just puke because there's mold on them.
So just make sure they're not like black looking or something.
Well, if they're powdered and put into capsules, they'll be fine. Those don't usually go bad.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard for them to get contaminated once they're in a capsule.
All right. I'll let my friend know.
Oh yeah. Asking for a friend. So
liability shields for days. No, it doesn't even matter. Nobody cares. Even my job, they'd be like, sure, just don't come here while you're tripping, please. And even if you are, could you at least perform your job? And if it's not that bad, okay, just don't do it again. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway. Just kidding, everybody. I won't come to your wedding tripping, I promise.
Hey, you could be a comedian while tripping.
Oh yeah, you could, but that would be crazy. I was going to ask you actually, I never tried it. That would be pretty crazy though. Well, the thing is though, you might, oh, I thought I put my phone on silent. I'm sorry. I swear to God, I did it before we started recording. So you might feel, I don't know, because you lose sense of time. That's the only problem in a comedy show. You really have to know, especially if there's other people on the show, but if it was like a one man show, maybe. But
yeah,
the question I did want to ask, is let's sidetrack a little here. Mushrooms, what about LSD? Because we talked about, you know, chemical analogs. So what about LSD or acid or what else is ever called and all that stuff?
LSD is just a synthesized cleaned up version of ergotamine, which is the ergot that forms on the inside of like grain silos when you store rye. Parasite that creates ergotamine would kill you over time and drive you insane if you ingested that. But the LSD is just the synthesized, the hallucinogenic compound in ergotamine. So
can you repeat that word that ends in mean? What did you just say?
Ergotamine.
Ergotamine. I'd never heard that. And
it's the chemical that's created by ergot, which is a fungal parasite that forms on ryegrass.
Yeah, there was even, I remember listening to Rogan and like years ago, and they were saying how this one guy thought that the Salem witch trials were because they were storing their rye bread wrong and they're all tripping their balls off. So maybe it has something to do with it. Who knows? But so do you think, what do you think of the, because I've had people tell me to not do it before or to do it. What's your suggestions?
Well, it depends on how not you ergot. Feel you are as a person. No, not ergot. Don't lick the inside of a green silo. It's an awful idea.
Too late. It's too late. I live inside a green silo. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God.
Oh, you must have a fun life. my recommendation on things like that is it's just like anything else. If you feel like you're comfortable with it, then definitely go for it. But like, see, whereas mushrooms can be an intensely introspective and personally healing and, you know, could go to dark places sometimes. But it's going to dark places because you need to go there as a person to learn things about yourself. Acid is on another wavelength of things where it's more of like a party thing or a fun thing. You definitely would do that in more of a social environment. That's the kind of thing you could go to a comedy club on and just have a blast. I've been on it at, important things, doing important things before that probably made it a little bit difficult to read, schematics and stuff. But, the lines were moving on the paper, but I still got my job done. So.
My God.
Yeah, fixed my buddy's hot tub on about 5 hits. So
nice. Well, people are going to work wearing masks. I think that's far crazier to not, ingest oxygen.
Suffocating
but anyway.
Yourself, It's hypoxia. What does that cause?
Anyway.
Waiting for a fork driver to crash into somebody and blame it on the mask.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
That's a great.
Allegedly, we would never do that to anybody.
Allegedly.
It's a comedy podcast, guys, a comedy show. That's cool. I was just making sure there was no backdoor government control in LSD or something. Not that that could
Well, there is the Tavistock Institute, which was started to explore psychoactive chemicals and their effect on mind control and things like that. And they did try to do stuff with LSD for a while. I don't know if you know anything about the MK Ultra experiments. Probably we're all from the same communities here. But they used to put people in these giant copper Faraday cages and give them extremely high doses of LSD and try to get them to communicate with spirits on the other side. And there's a pretty common thing is like a pantheon of 12 spirits that they were talking to at the time. Not exactly sure what all that's about. I don't, recommend conversing with things that you find on the other side. I've never taken that much to get to that side. So, and I've had quite a bit. I've had about 3,000 micrograms of it. And never experienced anything close to that. Concrete was melting at that point. Yeah. It was my friends and I were trying to walk up these stairs, and I had to grab everybody and stop them because I thought they were going to melt, that they were going to get stuck in the stairs because the concrete was melting. And I was like, "Oh, guys, stop! We can't go!" Like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, "The stairs are melting," and they're all like, No, they're just wet, man. It's been raining. And I'm like, I looked at it again and it's just rain. And I'm like, oh, well, good thing we got that out of the way.
It's funny. You're technically, the stairs are melting. It's just going to take 100,000 million years or whatever. So it's like you're seeing a fast forward.
Yes.
Of what's going to be. Yeah. It's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
You turn back and you look at your friend and right in his 100 eyes and go, man, when did you get 100 eyes?
When did you?
You're going to have them in the future.
They'll like fractal and like a Fibonacci like spiral off into this like whole woo off to the side of his head. And you're just like sitting there talking to him. And he goes, you know, like, are you all right, man? Like, yeah, I'm fine. You just kind of look a little funny today. That's all.
Yeah, it's like, are you all right, man? Because your eye's spiraling.
Where'd you draw all those extra eyes from, buddy? That's not cool. But I've lived that kind of lifestyle a lot. And then there's I guess if we're gonna keep on with that, then I'll talk about DMT as well. Then because we're gonna go through like the big three of them that are the lighter side of psychedelics.
Right.
And DMT is an interesting one. That tastes like horse shit.
Stop, dinner's coming. You're making me hungry.
Yeah.
I actually love the smell of horse shit, honestly, because it reminds me of like stables, and I love horses, but I've never eaten it. Anyway.
I've never eaten it, but I can imagine like it tastes like the smell. Like, I don't know. It's just
it tastes like hay and
hay and
horse piss. It tastes like hay and horse shit.
Hay, horse shit, and dirt. And you're like, hey, this is all, you know, pretty gross. You cough it all out the first time usually because it's just so nasty. And then everybody's like, no, you gotta hold it in. So
DMT. What form is this in that it tastes and you want to spit it out and all? It's smoking. Not like a pill that you can swallow, and it's not like, what's DMT?
You have to smoke it. Well, you can take it in ayahuasca tea, but then you're taking like a 9-hour trip.
Right.
And that can be dangerous because you have to mix it with MAO inhibitors, which can be bad for your stomach lining and your liver.
That's why you end up throwing up, right?
Yeah. If you don't mix it properly, it can be very dangerous. So you don't recommend playing with the ayahuasca tea unless you're doing it under the supervision of like an actual shaman that understands that kind of thing.
And a real shaman, not somebody who's like shaman.org, you know, like, I got my license. Yeah,
right.
Go to South America. You can pay to go to South America.
But why would I pay to throw up? No, thanks. Like
for like 9 hours.
Yeah. Though. Hell to the no.
Well, like, again, like he was saying, all these are medicines. Some people need to go to
Peru, okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. Like they're just
if you need it, do it. I don't think I need that.
Some people need that kind of an experience. I'm not on that kind of level. it was a pretty wild one. I was just sitting there, my friend wanted to know what I wanted to listen to for my soundtrack for it, and I'm like, okay. So I picked out my favorite song, and it's like got a good piano intro to it and everything. So I was just kind of listening to that, and I smoked it and held it in, and then all of a sudden I started like falling away into like this dream world, and then all of a sudden I'm like flying around with these dragons through this like crazy music video looking thing, and we're flying through this like gray black and white city. And we get to the edge of it, and it opens up into the wilderness, and it's all colored, like vividly colored. And then we're flying over the cliff of it and down into this waterfall. And then I woke up on this operating table, and there were aliens standing over top of me, or like weird beings standing over top of me. And they're like, oh shit, one of them's waking up. And I'm like, kind of like moving around. They're like, hold on, we got to put the time jelly back in your brain. And this guy, this alien comes, he puts his finger down on my head, and like it turns into these little bubbles, and they like bubble down onto my head, and my hands turn into bubbles. And I kind of like spaced into pieces and kind of understood that all of time was happening all at the same time, but not, you know, not in any kind of a direct order, but there was like this giant informational download that happened at that point. And when I came out the other side, I had this whole plan and idea of how to move forward with my life at the time. It's pretty wild. I get a lot out of things like that. Because I go in expecting, or I go in looking for answers, and I'm very accepting of whatever answers I'm given.
Yeah.
I think that's probably why you have such a good time with these. Exactly.
That's why they don't, that's why you don't have these negative experiences of like, you know, alleged demonic entities and whatnot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've never experienced one of them, but I'm sure that it can go that way because you're opening your mind into some kind of other dimensional experience at that point. Like I said, time didn't exist. It literally lasts 15 minutes, but it felt like I was there for days.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to explain it. Yeah. It's 15 minutes of real time, but if you could have put a video camera in my brain, I was there for hours or days even.
Yeah, that's what people say that have done some of these darker hallucinogens. They felt like they've been like on the edge, you know, places for like years where they like live lifetimes, and then they're like, holy shit, and then they wake up. Yeah, so that's why we always say be careful what you're fucking with. But yeah, DMT though, there's some good things about it.
There's I've had good things about it. I've heard some really weird things from people about it, and I'd always say like I'm not gonna end up in those experiences because I just there's certain things that I'm not gonna like do. Like one of the guys I know, he made a deal with a dragon to give up his last breath for the ride through the whole experience thing. And he breathed out his breath with the dragon, and gave that energy to pay the toll to ride through the the realm. And
that's so crazy.
Especially not literally with a dragon.
You can even say, I mean, I don't know your friend, but somebody could literally be doing that in their own life. If say they're addicted to like heroin or whatever, right, they're giving up their breath and their time and their attention and their breath to ride that dragon, and it's going to be a shorter life. They're actually taking they could be taking years off their life or even killing themselves at the end of the day. Yeah, it's crazy. Wow.
Yeah, they are.
That is insane.
What about those beings? Oh, go ahead. I was gonna ask you about that. Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, the beings.
Yeah, they were I had a similar experience.
They were like, they had the gray body almost, but had like a fish head eyeball looking things coming out the sides of their heads. And they had three fingers with like suckers on the end of them. And they were blue and purple colored, had like scales on them.
Hmm. What do you make?
They were pretty nice. So.
Do you, what have you thought about that, or what do you make of that whole, that part of it with the aliens and stuff or whatever?
I have no idea what to make of that part of it. Like, it definitely felt like I was waking up at a hospital, and, that I was on a table, and, like, they were just like, oh shit, he's waking up. No, you can't wake up yet. You're not supposed to be here yet. And it's like the kind of the general gist of what I got, like, oh, yo, you're not supposed to have gotten here yet. And they had to put me back to sleep by putting the time back into my brain.
When they did that, after they put the time back onto your brain, is that when you came out of the?
Yep. Yep. I my hands turned into bubbles, and they kind of faded away from me. And that's when I had like that realization that time was like not really a thing at this point. And this whole informational download hit me. And as it was hitting me, I came all the way back out of it into reality. And I was sitting in front of a campfire and I could see the logs were kind of like, they're like doing this like dancing thing where they're like kind of just, you know, rolling over each other for a bit, and the fire was just burning, and then everything kind of came back to normal. And I had this whole download about, you know, I talked to you about how I bought a big piece of land and I was planning on doing my homesteading community and everything. And that's what was a big part of when I was, before I made the decision to do it, before I pulled the gun and spent the money and everything like that. I was very nervous about what the future could hold and what my plans were and things like that. And when I came out the other side, I knew what I was supposed to be doing. So,
wow. So how long ago was that then? Because you recently bought that piece of land.
October.
Wow. Okay. And you smoked it, you said.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's in a, like in a cigarette type of thing, or?
No, the guy that I know that makes it, he made it into a juice that you can put into a vaporizer, and the vaporizer just turns it into vapor and you just inhale it. Yep.
Be careful what you're vaping out there, people.
Yo, for real. For real, weird looking vape.
This weed pen tastes like horse shit.
Oh shit! So, well, how many? Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. If you don't hold it in for a long time, it doesn't even have any effect on you, anyways. So it's okay.
Okay, so you have to. Okay, so how many hits does it take? Just one?
It only takes one if you hold it in long enough, but it might take two to break through.
Okay.
You know, to really like break through to the other side of whatever dimension.
Break on that through to the other side. So did all your people that were with you at that, I'm assuming it was multiple people there around the fire, did they also participate?
One other did with me. The other one usually stays out of it.
You're right, because you need to have one person to kind of watch you guys, right? Because I would not want to do that unsupervised.
Yeah, that's the big thing is we all watch each other's backs when we're doing things like that, and you know, do wellness checks on people if you've taken a lot of substances and looks like you're falling asleep. You know, we just make sure that they're not, you know, dying, you know, that they're actually just tired, you know, it's a big thing about personal responsibility for your comrades and your fellow psychonauts.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I like that. I'm just going to hijack this conversation again for a minute, but
please do
the part with the beings again. I'm going to go back to that because I had that similar experience and they were telling me that I don't really remember as clearly. So I don't remember what they looked like. Again, I mean, I was on mushrooms, so maybe it's a little different, but it was like, and it happened so fast, but same thing. I kind of woke up in this place and it was like, I was in a cage and they were just talking to each other about me first. Like I wasn't there. And then they're like, oh shit. And they're like, you can't, like, you got to go back basically. Like he's not ready kind of thing. Mm. And when that first happened to me, I thought, it was really scary at first. I'm like, what are we in the Matrix? And I thought about it on occasion from time to time. I'd be like, I wonder if that's really what's going on. And I kind of felt like a victim because of it. And then as the years went on and I shifted my point of view on my whole life with victim, I don't really feel like a victim now with anything. I try not to. If I am, I could, you know, we talk about this all the time. And then now when I revisit that memory, it's more like of maybe it was a situation I put myself in. And they were there, like they were the technicians that I paid. And I'm fighting them, and they're like, no. You know what I'm saying? They're like, no, dude, you came here for this, or whatever it is. And I don't even know. It could be the next ascension. Maybe it's what happens after we die. We have to figure out this realm to move to the next one. You know, whatever it is, and that can even line up with heaven. It could be heaven. You know what I mean? Or whatever your choice of way of, you know, your words. I'll just say it that way. But yeah, so. I think if anyone else is, if we both had that experience, other people had it. That's why I wanted to bring it up. So people listening, if you had that experience and maybe you were thinking of it in a little victim-y, you could now think of it in a a different light, maybe. I mean, it could be. Maybe we are in a cage somewhere. But what could we do about it, right? I guess we got to get out of it somehow. But yeah, I just wanted to share that.
We ought to find the silver lining, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that you bring up the mushroom spirits, because they're definitely different than the ones that I've met in the DMT realm. The mushroom ones are a lot more, they're more fun, and they're definitely more of a being of light and love on that energy level. The DMT ones seemed like they were busy, like engineers or workers, or they were doing something. They weren't happy to see me necessarily.
That's how it was with the mushroom thing. But again, I was in a very different spot in my life, and it was also making me really nauseous, but I refused to throw up. So I think that pain along with that is what sent me there, but it's what I needed, you know what I mean? So I'm glad I didn't. My instincts were correct. My body's like, throw up. And my instincts like, no, don't. You're like, no, don't throw up. You're like, you need this. Here, take another sip. No.
Definitely throw up. You have to throw up on them. You're doing is, you know, the plant matter that you don't need anyways.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. But I feel like the way I look at it now is because, you know, any kind of substance can heighten your awareness. So if I have pain, it's just going to make it that more... you know, part of the process. So it's going to bring it to a darker place, I guess. But yeah, but I talked about that in the last episode. But yeah, that's really interesting. I don't know if I've seen, I didn't really see any other spirits. But then again, like I said, I only did it that one time, the full dose. So it's just the moon that was really talking to me.
As you guys were talking about
whenever you're done.
Okay. So just quickly, as you guys were talking about mushrooms, and you said the spirits of mushrooms, and then you were talking about versus these kind of man-made type things, it just makes me think of, because like, as you're describing the mushroom spirits, to me, I think of nature, and they're more, I feel like those are more natural, and they're more nature-based spirits in line with, you know, like Crow says, there's no lie in nature, right? But then when you're talking about all the like the man-made type stuff, they seem to be more mechanical and more like you said, they were like working, or they were like doing something that was more, it didn't seem like in line with nature per se. Like you were like in this like hospital, and they were trying to maybe experiment on you or something, and you're like, what the heck is going on? Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. That was definitely the big difference between the two. When I met my mushroom spirit, it was a star fell from the sky and, you know, was talking to me about how, you know, I needed to get back on my path with God and, you know, and speak back to my ancestral roots with spirituality. And, you know, come back to that path, because I'm going too far down a dark path, and I had a greater purpose to serve at the time. And I still do. I just, you know, and I'm working at it. I just, it's a very long process to get where I got to get to. So,
yeah, these are the fun days. I tell everybody, everybody now, especially, it seems like the theme of 2021 is like, we're not where we need to be. We're on our way. We're getting there. And everyone's like in a rush. It's like, nah, just enjoy this time. You know, think about the times you've ever mastered anything. You know, it's like when I was DJing and I first started out, it sucked. But now I look back, like those are the best. Those are the most fun times, you know? So yeah, enjoy everybody. We're only going to be here once, allegedly, until we're here again.
I also think of it kind of as like a downtime for, at least for me. I mean, for some people, maybe they're struggling and freaking out at the world and going crazy, but I'm just like, you know what? Let them deal with their stuff. I'm cool.
That's why we love you, Sharon. You're that rock. Keep us stable.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very much.
Rob had a story.
Yes. The moon. So my cousin was out at Toad Harbor and, with my other friends, and I hadn't joined them. I ended up getting this call in the early morning, from my cousin, and he's running through the woods and he's very scared. And he says the aliens are chasing him. And we're like, oh, Ned, like, what do you mean the aliens are chasing? Like, there's a UFO. There's a mothership. It's behind me. It's following me. It's chasing me through the woods. It saw us. And then, like, I hear, like, other cousins and everybody's, like, running through the woods. And all of a sudden, one of them stops and he starts laughing. And he goes, wait a second. And he goes, stop. And he goes, stop. And he goes, what? And they're like, what? No, we can't stop. And he goes, no, dude, it's the moon. It's the moon. It's not an alien. And they look at it. They go, and he goes, oh, shit, Rob. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to call you back tomorrow. It's just the moon. We're not going to get a it's great, man. It's great. I'm glad you're not getting abducted tonight. I'm going back to bed myself.
Oh, my gosh. So what was he on? What was he tripping on?
Mushrooms.
Okay. Yep. There you go. The moon. The moon was chasing him.
Light sources tend to breathe or move around a little bit when you're on them. It's kind of common to get like a moving phenomenon out of something like the moon. Or like a breathing phenomenon out of tree branches. it's really cool when the trees start to breathe.
Wow. So I'm just going to ask you this because I meant to ask you earlier. But so you were saying that the microdose depends on your body weight and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think what I took was about approximately 0.5. And I had also taken a hit of a weed prior to that as well, like around the same time, but I don't know what hit me. I'm assuming it wasn't the weed because I never really got any effects from doing the weed even before that. And I was just like, so I think it was the mushrooms that did it for me.
Well, was it a more uppity feeling or was it more of a down feeling? Because that's the difference.
It's the difference. Okay. So it was very euphoric and very beautiful and very like it was the mushrooms, right? Okay. Well, thank you for confirming that because
absolutely.
I was like, I felt like I was like in the music and well, it wasn't music. It was a sound bath. So I felt like I was, you know, I was just part of it. It just felt like so enveloping and I could just see things, colors and things moving. And it was just very, very beautiful. And it just felt very amazing.
You had yourself a spaceship ride too.
Yeah. It was very neat. Very neat.
The most that I've ever gone to for it would be 160 grams. And
at one night
it was like a big potato chip bag I had, and I was just snacking on them. By the end of the night, the clouds were turning into those sacred geometric circular shapes, or like the seed of life, and and there was like these mandalas appearing on like just everything and everybody. I needed to hug like everybody. I was just like ambush hugging people. Like happy Sterling. Oh, this is the festival we were at. And just like happy Sterling. Just hugging people like, hey, do you want a hug? And like, you know, most people be like, yeah, I want a hug. And some people be like, no, I don't really want a hug. And like, come on, man, you want a hug? Yeah. Nah, I'm serious, man. Don't hug me. And it's like, all right, fine. Be that way.
Well, at least you asked him.
I like to have consent before I touch people randomly.
Yeah.
Hugs can get you punched sometimes. So we had one of my friends, we had this realistic dinosaur penis that you could shoot things out the end of. And we put liquor into it, and he was walking around the festival. He had it strapped to his chest and hanging off the front of him. And he was getting people to do shots of liquor out of it. And it was pretty amusing to watch for a little while. And he goes to this one camp, and this guy just did not think it was funny. He's like, get that gay thing the hell out of my face. And he goes, oh, what's the matter? He goes, wiggle, 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 like rubs it right in this guy's face. And then they got in a fist fight, and he ends up, because this is, my friend's really big, and he just grabs him and throws him on the ground and just sits on him, like about 380 pound man, just body slam, sits on him, knocks the fight right out of him. This guy just didn't want nothing else to do with him. And he took the big dinosaur penis and slapped him on both his ass cheeks and runs away. And like, oh man, I don't know him. I was just walking by. I'm out of here too now.
Wow, that's hilarious.
Oh, fun times though. That was at that same time that I was having that amount of mushrooms. That all happened in front of me, and I'm just, oh my god, this is going on. Like, oh, I better get out of here.
160 grams, you said. Just
there, yep, but right about a quarter pound. So,
and so, wow, I just. The more you go, the more what? The more?
The more intense it is, for sure. It's the LD50 for a 200-pound man is about 1,680. So, you know, well, I'm well under that. So it's, you know, you're I was in pretty good shape.
Can it knock you out ever? Like?
They do to some people. To me, I get a extreme heightened reflexes, heightened sense of awareness of everything around me, very sharp mind, very capable of holding conversations with people. I could definitely be on them and you wouldn't be able to tell one way or the other when it comes to me, just because, except for I laugh a lot more, probably a lot
I
more
can
prone
tell.
To
no, I'm just kidding.
Are you on them now?
So anyway, what is that whole LB thing? What did you say about the 1600? I kind of got lost.
Yeah, LB something. What was that?
LD50? That's the lethal dose limit.
Oh, legal dose limit.
Lethal dose.
Oh, lethal. Sorry.
So there was a good joke in there.
50% of the subjects tested. And that would be 1,680 grams to hit that limit. So
and he was
for
at
a 200-pound person.
Only 160, like 10% of that.
Yeah.
And that's
that
for
was, gender. That's the I've ever gotten to. It was a good time, though. I enjoyed it. I took a hot air balloon ride over top of the festival we were at, and that was that was a pretty intense experience.
I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm afraid of heights too, but
wow,
I wasn't afraid of heights then. It just sounded like a good idea.
Wow. Yeah. Removes those like inhibitions.
Did you freak out at all?
No, I just kind of went with it because everything kind of felt like a dream world at that point anyway. So
yeah, cool.
Yeah, it was just rolling with it, seeing where it took me, man. And, yeah, that lasted a good 14 hours almost.
The trip, 14 hours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not the balloon ride.
Would you say?
No, not the balloon ride. The trip was 14 hours.
So would you say, I have a couple of questions. Would you say that over time, like as in like when you were younger, let's say you started doing this stuff, over time, do you build up a tolerance so that you need more to get to where you used to get? Is that why the 160 really?
It was,
I mean, I did half a gram and I mean, I was euphoric and everything, but like literally probably lasted only a couple of hours.
Yeah. The half a gram isn't enough to do what you're,
right,
you want to get.
Right. And I didn't expect that it would. I didn't expect that it would.
You need to get like at least a decent experience out of it. An average person should be doing an eighth to a quarter, and
of what?
Of dried mushrooms, if you wanted to do that.
An eighth of a quarter of a what? An ounce?
No, eighth to a quarter. of an ounce.
Yeah, 3.5 grams to 7 grams. Yeah.
Oh, 3.5 to 7 grams.
Yep.
Would be the amount to and then so does the amount you take, okay, let's say you take like I did 0.5 and it lasted a couple of hours, I would say. Does the more amount you take make a longer trip?
Yes.
And so what would be an average trip for like 3.5 to 7 grams?
8 to 9 hours.
Oh, wow.
They're like heavy, but 8 to 9 of euphoric happiness. Okay. And like glowiness, like everything's going to be like the most beautiful color that you've ever seen of that color. And your eyes dilate really wide and you can absorb a lot more light than you normally would. So like if you look at like cars, they kind of look like fish, like swimming around and stuff down the road. Wow. You know, it's pretty wild. We were dinosaur hunting in the tree leaves, you know.
That's hilarious.
Let's see if you could find a dinosaur.
That's so funny.
You'd be the first, allegedly. No.
Who's not a paleontologist or whatever.
So I also had a really good feeling the whole next day. My friend said that too. He's like, the whole next day is going to be like a really euphoric good feeling. I can see you're shaking your head. Yes.
Yep. That's supposed to be, you have a glow for a while afterwards, and that's because your serotonin receptors become so opened from the chemical binding of the psilocin. That you're going to absorb more of your serotonin and you're just going to be happier as a result for like the next day or so.
So I have a question about your thoughts on microdosing, because since even like a 3.5 to 7 is like a good trip, like what, I mean, I know they've done studies and stuff on like microdosing being like really helpful to people, like focusing and things like that. What are your thoughts on microdosing or the purpose of them, I suppose?
So if you have neurological problems, if you have, like depression or anxiety, things like that, it could definitely help you. Just taking small amounts, like, 100-pound person to 150-pound person, you're only taking 0.1. 150 to 200, you're only taking 0.2. And 200 to 250 is 0.3. And kind of scale upwards, kind of like follow that up. Yeah. Every, 50 to 100 pounds, you're going to need a little bit more to get the same effect. But it's more weight related. There's not really much of a tolerance thing with it. The tolerance happens immediately, so you won't be able to trip 2 days in a row.
Can't. Explain that. Yeah.
So once you've done it, you have to do at least double that amount or more
the next day.
Okay. If you wait for 2 days, it will work just like it worked before.
Okay.
It takes a whole day for everything to kind of settle back in your system. Okay. So that's why it's not really super dangerous for abuse, because there's a lot of diminishing returns on that.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
So you're just going to waste it at that point.
Really good.
No, yeah, that's why the microdosing is only, it's not an everyday thing. That's a, once a week thing or a twice a week thing after you get going with it. And all it is just to make your mood better. And it does have a neuroregenerative capability. So you will start to fix receptors in your brain that might have been damaged from trauma. chemically induced or otherwise. So there's things like that. Because like a lot of people that that do drugs like that, they've played with something called Molly, MDA or MDMA. Ecstasy. And that is a pretty neurally toxic substance. Mm. And that can damage serotonin receptors. So it actually could help people that were involved in things like that heavily to break, you know, depression cycles. That would be like chemically induced damage to the brain.
You see, everybody, just party and have a good time and you could fix it once you decide you want to. But yeah. So stay away from the ecstasy is what you're saying.
Yeah, just stay away from that shit.
Okay, so that's what ecstasy is. I didn't
MDMA,
know that.
MDMA, yeah.
Yeah, MDMA. It's basically, so the root of the sassafras tree has to be distilled into safrole, which can be turned into this crystal called SAS or MDA. And you mix that with methamphetamines and that becomes MDMA. And that's the ecstasy party drug that people like to take, but that is actually pretty toxic for your brain. So it's not really something I'd recommend playing with.
Even would people who do it like in a medicinal setting. Sorry, Sharon.
It's just your brain. It is, no matter how you're taking it, it does cause brain damage.
Oh, good. So, okay.
I wanted to get that. So it has been used medicinally.
Well, they're working on it. They're working on MAPS, and all these groups are trying to get it because people use it to battle fight depression, they say. So
because it's a stimulant or like a what is it?
No, it's a euphoric substance. It causes you to get a super dose of serotonin in your brain. And that's why they call it a love drug. Where, you know, you'll have like a big pile of people all kind of cuddling with each other. It's like, oh, I love you, man. You're like the best friend I've ever had in the world. And like, I'm just going to lay here on you. And we're all just going to kind of lay here and stare at the sky and watch the lights. And it's kind of goofy. But yeah, it's a very touchy-feely type thing. And so that's, I don't know. It's a weird one.
It's a lab created one as well. I mean, clearly, right?
It used to be, you ever heard of sarsaparilla?
Oh yeah. Back in the day. I mean, I've heard the word, and was it a drink?
Yeah. It's a drink. It's a drink that was made from sassafras root.
Okay.
And that's the same stuff they used to make root beer out of.
Okay.
Well, safrole has MDA in it, and that actually was the precursor to finding MDA and creating MDMA was sarsaparilla and root beer.
Very curious. I did not know that.
Very wow. Interesting.
Well, I had another question, but it totally slipped my mind. So,
I could ask really quickly is that what you're saying about the MDMA and damaging your receptors. Do you have, where did you like, where, if somebody was interested in that, say somebody was like, how dare you, MDMA saved my life. Where would you point somebody like that to look into it for themselves?
Well, Erowid, Erowid, .org has a good, unbiased research on everything. And it is your A through Z of any chemical or substance that you could possibly get yourself messed up on.
Ooh, say that again then. What's the name of that site? I'm going to check that
out. Erowid, Erowid.org. Right. And they would probably be your best resource. There's all sorts of experiences, articles, legal articles, just your normal medical articles and what the addiction properties of it are, what it does, how like every detail that you could possibly want about it, even down to some things are even their manufacturer ingredients are posted up there. So
nice. Thank you.
Just certain things.
Glad I asked.
Actually, yeah. So
Yeah.
Well, so if you're ever curious as to what went into making something, you could always look it up and be like, you know what? Maybe I don't want to put that in my body. It has battery acid. Yeah.
If it's, especially if it's not natural, has no natural substances in it.
And guys, we're definitely not telling you to go there so you can learn how to make your own drugs. That would be, no, don't do that. That would be bad. It, I mean, it lists all the components, so you could, but don't.
Don't do that. That would be wrong.
Not a good idea.
Honestly, you should probably not experiment with psychoactive chemicals that you've created yourself unless you're an actual chemist. So
an alchemist. Perhaps
you probably shouldn't experiment. Yeah. And you shouldn't experiment with anything unless you know yourself and your body and, you know, might be aware of some things. Cause like I've said before, it just stares you in the face. If you have an issue or a problem that you're trying to ignore or whatever, it'll be right there. And it might even come back as like a demon. Could it be? I don't know. But anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
Sort of disclosure.
So I think I remember, what I wanted to ask about. And I feel like you're holding your breath because you, oh yeah, never mind. You're not. Okay. I thought you were like holding something in and you're going to just like smoke it out in a second. Like,
guys, it's a dragon. Should I make a deal? No.
No, don't make deals with the dragons.
You are the dragon. Duh.
You are the dragon. So I remembered, I wanted to ask you about going back to the honey. How much of this do you take or do you know how much of it is equivalent to how many whatevers of an ounce or, you know what I mean? Like,
well, usually what I do is I take like a pint jar. And I'll mix that up with a quarter of the dry, ounce. Yeah, a quarter ounce, 7 grams of the dry mushrooms, and or 7 to 9, really. I like to do a little bit more, just because I like to just a little bit more than more sunshine in the day, I guess. But yeah, you could add that to your tea or your coffee in the morning.
And that's like a micro dose. That would be like an equivalent of a micro dose then, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you should be roughly around the right amount, just with a tablespoon of it at that point. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it, because you'll see it leaches outwards out of the fruiting body. And it'll turn the honey blue. And that's how you know that the psilocin is in the honey.
Do you have one that you can show us?
Not on YouTube.
Okay.
That's okay. Of course you, Sharon, what are you, fed? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's all right, Sharon.
We're just curious.
We're just breaking your balls. It's fine. Please ask any questions, Sharon. It's fine. No. So what's your social security number again? No, I know. I'm just very, I was going to ask. No, that's what we love about her. And trust me, I would want to see it too. If he was like, yeah, here it is. I would have been like, sweet. I was going to ask you something. I think it was about honey. It'll come back to me. Oh yeah. So you have to wait a day though, right? So if you do it one day.
Yeah. You have to wait a day in between things because if you do it all at once, you're just not gonna feel it. You're wasting it
basically, right?
Yeah, you need to do a lot more. And yeah, I hear just you. Not- yeah,
even with a micro dose of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. It's we call it the law of diminishing returns. If you do it one day, you have to do twice as much the next day. And then after that, you have to do four times as much to do it for a day in a row. And that exponentially increases just to even get the effect out of it. If you're trying to do it for multiple days in a row. So, and it's just your stomach would be throwing you for a loop by the end of that. You have no, there's no propensity for abuse with things like that because of that. You'd be sick to your stomach trying to eat like that, and it just wouldn't be fun to trip at that point.
It would make you throw up. Then
eating it that much, like, constantly.
He's talking about, like, so if you one day one then twice and then four times and then
No,
it'll make you throw for sure. I've never done it like that, but I've done it, tried to do it 2 days in a row like that, and it just made me sick to my stomach, and I was like, it sounded like it was going to be fun, but then it just really wasn't.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So you prefer to make the honey in that format rather than make capsules, right?
I like the honey for a microdose rather than the capsules, just because I get more out of the honey. Because, like, with the capsules, I can't mix reishi and chagas and lion's mane into that. Because there's only so much space. In a capsule, and it'd be negligible amounts of the other stuff just to get the right amount of, psilocybin mushroom into it. So what is great about the honey is that you can mix all of those into it, and all of their good nutrients, and the honey's good nutrients are all in there too. So you're getting all of the benefits of all of those substances all at once. And, that's incredibly good for your body.
Absolutely. I love it. Sounds amazing. Very cool.
I do that. And I also have a friend that I just met him recently. He's another bear who does tinctures and herbal remedies and stuff as well. And I'm becoming really good friends with him because we're trading different mushroom recipes and things like that. So,
I don't think you said your bear name. Feel free to say it if you want.
My name is Meek Bear. It's from the Gnomish language. It means desert bear. So
Meek Bear.
Meek Bear. It's the Gnomish language.
Dungeons and Dragons, much?
Dragons. Woo!
The language of the gnomes, perhaps.
Yes.
And that's M-I-K-K for everybody.
My gnomish sorcerer's name is Meekbar, which means the desolate void, or the desert void. Mm-hmm. So that's a flesh warper, and I do, like, magical surgery on people, and can take, like, body parts we hacked off of a monster and surgically graft it to my compatriots and stuff, and
Frankenstein them.
Like a third orc arm or something. Like, a sword in or something,
Orc arm. Like, oh my god.
What about you ever put a dinosaur dick on one of your friends?
Oh my god.
Only in real life. Only in real life.
I could
not in Dungeons and Dragons.
When the other guy's the DM, he's a lot more conservative than I am. So I have to meter how intense I play my character. I allow whatever. I have a pretty wild campaign. We kind of co-DM. So, like, I'll be the write the dungeon and the script for the game 1 week, and he'll write it for another month of game. So we'll jump back and forth to what games we're playing and what characters we're playing and stuff. And it's pretty cool. Yeah, we've written an entire world, and we could write a book out of it. Probably it'd be a good one too.
Yeah, just don't put on the goggles. That's all I got to say. Don't put on the VR goggles.
Oh no, I was like, my welding goggles. I use those to drive.
Yeah, exactly. Sharon, do you have any other questions? Because I just remembered that I never asked you to pull a card.
I was going to tell you that.
How dare me?
Remembered.
Yeah, you want to pull one now?
I can.
And we could close out with that then, because we've been going for about an hour and a half or so.
Yeah.
So this would be great. Great. By the way, Rob, thank you so much. This has been a great conversation. I mean,
absolutely.
We could literally just go on for hours and, you know, yeah. hang on. Let me keep that on. Because you're. There we go.
Okay.
Oh, that's great. That thing, when you first put it, he put it on earlier, everybody that's listening in the chat. Oh, by the way, in the chat, we want to hear it. What do you think? Did you like this episode? What do you think about Meek Bear stories, Rob stories? Do you have any other similar stories you'd like to share? Put them down below. Let us know. I see you. That is hilarious, man. It looks like an actual eye. What do we got? The King of
Swords.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Bear Illuminati confirmed, because I'm showing only part of my face. Only one eye.
And you have the hidden hand behind you.
Ah, the hidden hand.
Showing two fingers, the three finger. We're breaking this down. Everyone's analyzing it at home. What does that mean down there in the chat? What is she trying to tell us? Yeah. So anyway, the King of Swords, that's a great card, because it's all about the ideas, right? We're talking about all
swords
this stuff.
Represent,
yeah,
ideas
and all these
and thoughts,
different ideas, and the experimenting with your consciousness and the ideas that you come with after it. And somebody like you, I feel, Rob, embodies the King of Swords, because you have all this experience and you're sitting on the throne and you have the sword and you're there to show it to everybody and to showcase it and use it as not just like a weapon to threaten people, but, you know, you're showing them, this is how I did it. This is how you can do it too. It's kind of like they say in the Bhagavad Gita, how in the works of a great man, the rest of the world can find a guide, kind of, you know. So it's like that. And also I want to say too, before I forget, this whole podcast has been amazing for me, because it's been just like, I've been watching and listening more, because Rob's this expert and then Sharon has no idea. And it's great because we get both these point of views. How often do you get to hear people talk about things like mushrooms and stuff, where you have somebody that's never really did it, you know, and then you have someone that's did it. And then you have an awesome guy like me in the middle, who could just have this great voice and bring it all together. No, but seriously, it's been a great experience to see that, especially with Sharon, because she's not afraid to ask questions, which I really like, because a lot of people in this quest of knowledge feel like they want to belong and they feel stupid if they ask questions. And I'm like that too. So having Sharon here is great, because she doesn't care. She's just like, no, I don't care what. So
I've always been curious since I was a little child.
Yeah, I love
wee
it.
Lass.
I have too, yeah. But like I'm always like, yeah, whatever, I'll figure it out later. Cause I don't, my thing is I never want to bother anybody. I'm like, everything's great, we'll just keep it this way. I'm not saying it's the way, you know, but I love Sharon. She's just like, no, I don't care. Like, fuck your feelings, I want to know. So I love that. I'm like, yeah.
Well, so sometimes Sharon, I hold back, but
what do you think about that card? Today. Yeah, no, you did not. I love it. You even asked him to show it, which is fucking great. What's your and you got embarrassed. We weren't picking on you. I thought that was awesome. What do you think about the King of Swords?
Yeah, I like what you said about it, because swords do represent the plane of the mind and the plane of the thoughts. And so like I like how you related it to consciousness and how we did talk about that in this episode. And we have an expert, and to me, that's the king. The king is the expert. So it totally lined up. I like that.
Yeah, that's great.
I get called the king a lot because of the sideburns.
Oh, there you go. See? Sink.
Oh, here you go.
Total sink.
Now you just need a crown of eyeballs.
I do have a crown of eyeballs. I have to bring that out next time.
Oh
wow,
that's funny. I was just joking. I meant just that hat.
I'm
but yeah,
nerd.
Oh,
I make my own costumes, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
you're wearing a painter's outfit. I feel like you're for your painting, right?
It's my my lab coat, but yeah, I wear it for painting.
Oh, your lab coat. Okay,
you could trust him, guys. He has a lab coat on. All right.
Yeah, I have a lab coat on. Right, see?
It's full of paint, but it's still a lab coat.
He's not afraid to get it dirty. You know, that's a big that white lab coat, man. That's a big placebo. Look into that one. Anyway, so before we end the episode, though, Rob, is there anything else you want to say or talk about, or anything you want to promote, or you know, anything like that?
No, are you on the BTA? I enjoyed being on for you guys. This has been fun to give people some good knowledge, I hope, to safely explore these things if they want to explore them, or to know to stay away from them if they don't want to play with them. You know, that big thing is, breaking down the stereotypes and the myths around these things, and understanding what you're really getting involved with. And that's one of the big things, I think, is about drugs in general, is that you get the negative connotation about all of them. And that's because there are some that are extremely negative to boot. And then there's some that are in the gray zone. And then there's some that are in the extremely light zone. So there's a whole range of emotions that should be thought about when you're talking about psychoactive substances.
Right. Yeah, well said. I totally agree. And if anyone has questions for you, you're on BTA, or where do you want them to reach out to you? I mean, you can comment on this video, anybody.
Telegram would be easiest.
What's Telegram? Telegram.
Telegram would be the easiest one. You probably see me in your chat room on Telegram. So.
Oh yeah, we do. So if anybody wants to get a hold of him and they can't figure it out, hit me up. I'll put you in contact with them. But yeah, because some people might have questions or might just be at different. Obviously, everyone's at different stages of this. But if someone's starting to get into it, they could definitely benefit from a little bit of knowledge, and that's what we try to do.
If you're nearby, I'm always willing to go on a vision quest with you. So,
yeah,
I'm not shy about meeting new people.
All right, maybe I'll have to add you to the tour. Maybe I can go north before I go south and west. I don't know. We'll
should
see.
Go north before you go.
You should stop by and see the new land that we're going to be starting our little upstate Bartaria in.
Yeah. All right, we'll talk about that.
70 acres, man, and it's right across from the Salmon River if you like fishing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, I'm going to relieve.
You got to the Salmon River, you take a left at the Nazi gas station, and I'm at the end of the dead end road.
There you go.
You got to like, this guy has, he's in a wheelchair, and he has created this work of art out of his gas station. He put up a bunch of Nazi swastika banners all over the place, but he also built these dummies of Hillary Clinton and Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and they're all hanging from the by nooses from all around his gas station. And then he's got all these signs. He's barricaded the whole thing in with these plywood signs that he like wrote all his crazy political ideas and beliefs on. And he goes around his whole area on his little electric wheelchair with his sawed-off shotgun in his lap, just fucking rolling around, making sure his lot's secure.
Oh, that's great.
It's a pretty interesting time I ended up in, but that guy is, wow. I just, like, in a wheelchair, and he made those dummies and got them up a ladder and hanging from there. It's impressive. That's a level of dedication to your crazy Nazi shit.
Like, wow. And it's a functioning gas station?
Yeah, it's on a gas station. And this is in New York. And you're like, that's interesting. I'm impressed that you're that industrious in a wheelchair. But
the question is, do you get gas there?
Right.
No. I've never stopped there once. I'm Arab.
Oh, shit.
Dude, if I go up there, I'm definitely going to this gas station. I'd love to. I'm going to do a podcast with that guy. Are you kidding me? That guy's hilarious. Oh, man.
Got to be fun to talk to.
Yeah.
Any guy that is motivated enough to climb out of his wheelchair and up a ladder to hang, you know, dummies off of nooses from the top of his gas station. I mean, yeah. He's got to be interesting. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I bet there's a lot of, you know, cue cut talking you get to get through. Anyway, so that's thank you though. Thanks for coming on the show. And Sharon, is there any last things you would like to say, or
only that if you're not oversharing,
Then you're totally not caring. See you guys next time.